Thank you. Hello, and welcome to the last in the current series of Twitutin. Don't be sad, audience. There might be some more at some point. Who knows? Anything might happen. To be honest, I'm amazed we got to do this many. Count your blessings. And for a show that celebrates the things that happened this week in history, this is a momentous occasion, because the 2nd of October 2004 saw the first ever broadcast of That Was Then, This Is Now. That's right, we're 2 years old this week. Happy birthday to us all!
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to us, Twitutin!
Happy birthday to you!
And now the audience is lining up to give the show the bumps.
One!
Ow, that's my back!
Oh, what a celebration. We're handing round a piece of chocolate cake to everyone now. And that was sent in by our special guest from show two of the series, Dr. Miriam Dalgleish, the slightly strange, fecally obsessed coprolite analyst. Yeah, well, never accept cake from strangers, you idiots. Did your parents teach you nothing? Of course, what all this means is that we've already covered this week in history once before, and so we've had to, you know, deliberately put some filling into the show, like having the audience sing Happy Birthday. It used up a couple of minutes. It was good. We did specifically tell Radio 2 that if we were to get another series, then obviously it would have to be at a different time of year, so we'd have new material to work with. But did they listen? No. Everyone at Radio 2 is an idiot. Especially the controller. Though we'd love to do another series, if you're interested, if you'll have us back. Luckily, we have the perfect cover for our paucity of ideas. Will you please welcome our house band, Christian Riley and Enigma Machine?
That was then and this is now, bites in the hand that feeds. Since October the 2nd, 2004 AD.
Big week for you, eh, Rich?
How do you mean?
Well, you must remember from last week, you're marrying TV's Emma Kennedy on today's show.
I don't think so, Christ. That was just a joke. I mean, at the end of episode 3, we destroyed the moon. And then no reference was ever made to that again. So I think we just wiped the slate clean. We start again. That's the way the show works.
You can't say that because you made a promise to TV's Emma Kennedy and has her friend and legal guardian. I expect you to follow it through or you will be disrespecting her honour.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it? Is that a gun, Christian?
Yes, and I hope I don't have to use it.
Well, I think I'd rather be shot than have to marry that mawkish, mork-faced pre-mork mork-arena. Prima ballerina, it's not very good.
I am here, you know.
Oh, nice dress. Special occasion.
Yes, we're getting married.
Look, we can't get married because, I forgot to book a vicar, so cheg on.
I can marry you, Rich.
What?
Yeah, magistrates, captains of ships, leaders of rock bands, they all... all have the power to conduct a marriage. As long as it happens on a stage on which I am performing, the contract is legally binding. And you'd better marry her because all the band are very heavily armed.
I don't understand, Emma. Why do you want to marry me? You hate me.
Hate you, Rich? No. I love you, Richard Keith Herring, with all my heart. And you know that you love me too.
I don't. I really don't love you. I hate you. And in a bride, I'm really looking for someone less mawkish and with a nicer personality and bigger tits. If I'm honest.
Look how you're flirting.
It's not flirting. You make me feel physically sick. I just look at you. I've been slightly sick in the back of my throat just looking at your face fully clothed, so I don't think I can marry you.
Such a tease.
It's not teasing. You make me want to vomit. I mean, that's not a good start to any wedding, is it?
You so want me. Anyway, Rich, I'll see you at the end of the show. Yeah?
Shut up. Let's take a look at some history. On 2nd of October 1452, King Richard III was born. He's best known today for being Cockney rhyming slang for a piece of poo. But he also did loads of cool stuff, I expect. He got a play written about him by William Shakespeare, no less. Shakespeare, though, only told part of the story of old Turdy Feature's final moments. Here is what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
A horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse!
What did you say?
The horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse!
I've got a horse. So you're saying you'll give me your kingdom if I give you this horse?
Yes, yes. Please, give it now.
Yeah, it sounds like a suspiciously good deal. What's the catch?
There's no catch. I'm just so desperate to escape this battlefield, I'm prepared to give up my kingdom for a means of escape. Come on, give it to me.
No, what is this? Candied oil painting?
No.
Where's the artist? Up a tree? In the hedge?
No.
Getting all this draw, making me look like a ripe franny, I bet. Who put you up to this, eh? Was it Ed Frick?
Yeah, no, it's not candied oil painting. I just really need a horse, and you can have my kingdom if you give it to me, quickly.
No, it'll turn out you're the king of some rubbish kingdom like Liechtenstein or the Isle of Wight, or maybe like a fantastical fairy kingdom where you like rule over goblins, fairy folk, gonks.
No, I'm King Richard III, King of England. It's
get
a good
out
king-
of it.
No, it's a good kingdom, I am.
Oh, where's your hunchback?
I don't have a hunchback.
Everyone knows King Richard III had a hunchback.
I don't. That's an apocryphal tale made up by my enemies to make me appear more evil. You know, like the one about Edward II having his stomach pumped and then finding 10 different people's...
No. That's true. My granddad's best friend's mate worked at the hospital next to the one they did that in.
Whatever. I am not evil, like they say. I'm a really good bloke. I can't have killed more than 2 princes in my whole life. And I just desperately need a horse.
So you'll give me all England and all the stuff in it, including all the other horses, if I give you my horse?
Yes.
Do you promise?
Yes, I give you my word as king.
Right, it's a deal. There you go.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, I probably should have mentioned this earlier. I lost the battle, so I don't own the kingdom anymore. I totally tricked you, you idiot, and got your horse for free. Gullible old. Check on, you am a twat. Giddy up, girl. Ha-ha, I am evil after all.
Watch out for that bridge.
Oh, sugar. Oh, my head. Oh, I die.
Yeah.
And that's what really happened.
Was then, this is now, better than Shakespeare at history and tragedy. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
First week of October was a momentous week for cartoons. The 2nd of October 1895 saw the first appearance of a cartoon strip in a newspaper. 55 years later to the day was the first appearance of bobble-headed Morkfest Peanuts.
Oh, I love Charlie Brown.
Yeah, and oh surprise, it is Morkish. How can anyone like Peanuts? It's the only cartoon in the world that makes Mickey Mouse look amusing. Traditionally, strip cartoons have 3 setup boxes, followed by a final box with a joke in it. But Peanuts bucks this trend to go for 4 jokeless setup boxes and then nothing else. Occasionally a little arrow at the bottom pointing to the second page as if there'll be a joke on there. No, just 4 more boxes, no joke. What the hell did anyone see in this cartoon? Oh, look, the bird flies upside down. Brilliant, every week. More our cartoon unfunniness happened this week as well, just last year, when Danish newspapers printed their controversial cartoons supposedly depicting the Prophet Muhammad. Look, he's got a bomb in his hat. Brilliant. Not only deeply offensive to all the world's Muslims, but also to everyone else in the world who has a sense of humour. But we're joined by one of the rubbish cartoonists who caused this furore. Will you please welcome Lars Gudrumsson?
Hello.
Hello, Lars.
Hello.
My first question to you, Lars, is what the hell were you thinking? You must have known you'd upset the Muslims. Have you been watching the news over the last 5 years at all?
Well, at the time, we were thinking we were making an important stand for free speech, but the year of living in hiding, fearing for my life, has made me slightly reconsider the wisdom of offending all the world's Muslims.
But you have at least come here to try and heal the rift between Denmark and the Islamic world.
That is right, through healing cartoons that bring together Christians and Muslims. For instance, this one here.
Right, yes, this is 2 men in T-shirts, different T-shirts. One's got Islam written on it, the other one's got the West written on it.
They symbolise Islam and the West.
Yeah, that is very clever.
Thank
I
you
like
very
what
much.
You've done. And they've got their arms around each other.
Showing that they are friends.
Good. And they're pointing and laughing at a big fat man under a tree, and he's got written on his stomach, "I am Buddha, and I am fat and lazy and probably gay."
Yes, I am using my cartoons to unite Christianity and Islam.
In mutual hatred of the Buddhists.
Oh, yeah.
Have you not learned anything?
Oh, yeah, I've learned a lot. Unlike last year, I really researched this cartoon, and in my studies, I discovered that Buddhists are a non-violent religion. There's gonna be no repercussions. What are they gonna do? Meditate at me?
I don't think that really is the lesson from you. This cartoon isn't even remotely funny.
All right, okay, try this one here.
Okay. Right, so this has got, it's a man in a suit saying, I am the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, he's symbolizing.
Yeah, it's all right, okay, I've got that, thanks. Okay, yeah. And he's got a little squiggly lines coming out from his armpit saying, stink.
I am implying he smells.
Yeah, not so much implying as sort of saying. And there's a speech bubble coming out of his mouth saying, I'm a big baldy, and all the stuff I think is wrong, whatever it is, I can't really be bothered to find out.
Yeah. I have made him look like an idiot. Once again, no repercussions. He's another Buddhist, a pacifist idiot. Come on, Orange Robies, bring it on. What is this? This is the sound of one hand making a rude gesture.
So all you've learned from this terrible experience, people died and stuff, is to be more careful which religious groups you insult.
Yeah, and the Buddhists are best because they really believe in this stuff. Not like, you know, Christians who claim to be pacifists and talk about turning the other cheek, but actually getting a right flap if you have a go at them, the hypocritical fools.
Shut up, you're doing it again.
No,
Stop it.
It's true, but Buddhists, you know, they see the thing through properly, you know, which is why you can take the peace out of them and they don't do nothing, the pussies.
I apologise sincerely to any Buddhist listeners for these offensive remarks, but at least it shows the person who rang up the BBC after our first show to say this.
I thought some of the jokes on today's programme were very offensive to the royal family. I would like the BBC to expand its satire into other areas. I doubt we would ever hear, for example, someone making a joke about the Dalai Lama.
Well, there you go, anonymous complainer. You were wrong. And if there's anyone you would rather see us satirise than the people we choose, let's take requests. Do let us know. We'll do our best to make your wish come true. It's like a Jim will fix it of hate. I'm not going to have a go at the Muslims, though. I might be an atheist. I'm not stupid.
I don't see why religious people fight. I think they've all got it right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Emma. All religions are right when they say that all the other religions are wrong. It's so close there to being 100%.
I believe that when you die, whatever you believe in will come true.
Oh, Emma, that is such a nice philosophy for maybe a baby to have, or a baby animal, maybe a baby mouse. If a baby mouse had come in and said that, I think that was a really clever thing to have come up, but it wouldn't, when you think it through, it wouldn't work in any way, would it, that as an idea?
Well, you say that, but you know, if you're a Christian, you go to Christian heaven.
Yeah, I understand.
If you're a Jew, you go to Jewish heaven. If you're a Muslim,
you go to where?
You know, whatever it is they think that happens.
Yeah,
and
well,
so
I see, I get that, Emma. Yeah,
that's
but
how it works.
See, it doesn't really work, does it? Because what I believe is when I die, I'll go to Richard Herring heaven, right? Mm. Where I am king of the universe, and where the souls of all the religious people who have ever lived are kept in a muddy pit. And every hour on the hour, I wee on them.
Right.
And my wee is made out of acid and is on fire. So there couldn't be both a Christian heaven, where Christians have a nice time, sit on clouds and all that guff, if what I believe also comes true, as all the Christians will be required for my fiery acid wee pit.
Well, all right, that's what you think. Maybe you'll go to a place where you believe that is happening, but in fact the religious people you wee on, they'll just be cyborg clones. So the souls of all the religious people can go wherever they want to.
Well, no, Emma, because I don't believe that I'll be fire acid weeing on cyborg clones. I believe I'll be fire acid weeing on the actual souls of all the religious people. So it doesn't work. Your thing doesn't work, what you're saying.
Well, that's your opinion.
Right, no, it's just I've just disproved your theory.
No,
it can't work.
No,
it's not an opinion.
That's your opinion.
It's rubbish what you're saying.
No, I can't agree with you on that because I'm a deeply spiritual person and find everything you're saying pretty much offensive to the core of my being.
Well, it's probably a bad idea for us to get married then.
No.
You're not
getting out of it. We're still getting married, and I will spend the rest of your life trying to convert you to my beliefs. You're looking down a long, dark tunnel, Herring, and it's the rest of your life.
It is your wifely duty. That
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's what marriage is all about, Christian. So now it's time for a song. Please welcome Christian Riley and Enigma Machine.
This song's about Dafydd ap Gruffudd, who was the last native prince of Wales. He talked his elder brother Llewellyn, who was prince at the time, into an unwinnable war against England. Llewellyn was killed in battle. Dafydd went on the run until he was caught and executed for treason on the 3rd of October, 1283. That was the end of independent Wales. Dafydd could quite easily be a footnote in history, but hopefully this song will put him right back on the map for what he's most famous for. You woke up in the morning in the mountains of Gwynedd. You've been running round and hiding out since the Norman conquest. When the English army catches up with you, don't feel sad, don't feel blue. Someday we'll sing a song for you. Cause you were the first guy who was hung and drawn and quartered. You lost the Welsh their freedom, but you won a special kind of race. Well, if you had your time again, would you take it all back? Would you talk your elder brother into another rash attack? We'll never know because the dead can't speak, especially when their body parts are distributed around Shrewsbury. You'll always be to me the first guy who was hung and drawn and quartered. Amnesty International, up 700 years too late. Yeah, you're the first guy who was hung and drawn and quartered. And unlike your arms, they can't take that away from. Unlike your legs, they can't take that away from. Unlike your intestines, they can't take that away from you.
On the 1st of October 1958, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA as it's more commonly known, was created. It replaced the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. But why did the Americans feel the need to make this change? Let's find out.
Hello, welcome to the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. Nice to get some of you fellas down from Washington for a change. What brings you here?
Well, we've come to change your name.
To the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Why? What's wrong with the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics?
We just think National Aeronautics and Space Administration's better.
Got a better ring to it.
Look, we've been the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics since 1913. Why change it now?
Look, for goodness sake, isn't it obvious? The acronym of the existing name is NACA. We're a laughingstock around the world.
No, what's wrong with NACA? It's a good acronym.
No, it's not. Don't you know what it means? It's a euphemism for, you know, for love dumplings.
What are you talking about?
You know, man eggs, family jewels, nutmegs, frickin' frack the McSquirter twins.
I don't understand.
You know, the gonk-faced Mother Teresa sisters. Sleeping in their hairy hammock. The contents of the furry holdall. Mr. Happy's two nutty friends, the one-eyed monster's beanbag.
I'm really not following you.
For crying out loud, in half the English-speaking world, knacker refers to a gentleman's testicle.
Oh, right. No, I know that. That's why we called it that. Because we remain down below when the little spaceman gets shot into orbit. That's why it's a brilliant name.
Well, we're changing it to NASA, and there's an end on it.
Well, what are we going to do with all these National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics badges I've had made?
Tough luck, pal. They're knackered.
That was then, this is now, the official record holder for the most euphemisms for Cupid's prunes.
So on the 4th of October 1535, the first ever complete English language Bible was printed, translated by William Tyndale and Miles Coverdale. Up to that point, it had always been in Latin, which, as anyone who studied it at school will know, is rock hard. But did this new accessible translation throw up any surprises?
Here you go, Bishop, hot off the press. The first ever complete English language Bible.
Hope you like it. It took ages.
Latin is solid to translate.
Well, thank you, William. Thank you, Miles. You've done this. It must have taken you ages. It's a wonderful achievement. Let me have a look. Oh, it looks so good. Nice font.
Comic Sans Serif.
Yeah. Good. Hold on. What's this? The story of Jesus turning loaves into fishes looks a bit different. You've got him turning them into pies?
Well, you said translate into English. Pies are traditionally English, aren't they?
And here again, and lo, Jesus turned the water into gravy.
Yeah, but you can't have the pies without the gravy.
Yeah, that would be weird. We're English. We love gravy.
Look, what else have you changed?
Oh, you know, just a few small details, like where Jesus was born.
Where is he born?
Romford.
Harris, you can't just go changing the Bible willy-nilly. It's a sacred text.
But you said translated into English. We were just trying to make it more relevant.
Yeah, bish, come on. Give the English people what they want. I mean, they don't want a crucifixion.
They don't?
No, it's way too graphic. No, in our version, Jesus gets a dicky tum for meeting spicy food, and he spends 3 days on the toilet.
That's way more English.
Right, enough. In the name of the Lord...
Gary.
What?
Gary Almighty. That's the name of the Lord.
In our version.
In English.
I know. What have you done to the Virgin Mary?
Oh, she's just Mary now.
Well, you know. She is from Romford. We have to be realistic.
I will see you burned for this.
Listen, Bishop, what's all this fuss about? All we tried to do was create a truly English publication that would be read by the man on the street.
Well, I don't like it.
Yeah, better not look at page three, then.
Hey, page three... Jesus Christ!
That's right, yeah.
You can see us McSquirter twins. Well, that's the end of the series. I hope you enjoyed it. Knowing the Radio 2 powers that be, we'll probably be back in a couple of years' time to take another wry look at the historical events of the first week of October. So, write that in your diaries now.
Hold on a minute, Richard Herring. I think you're forgetting something.
Don't think I am. You can't force me, I don't want to do this, and I can't. I haven't even got a best man.
I will be your best man.
You, Lars, I've only just met you. I don't even like you. I think I've got better friends than you.
You just want to give me the rings.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in this chapel of rock and roll to unite this man and woman in holy matrimony. Marriage is an honourable institution and is not to be entered into lightly or foolishly.
Or mawkishly.
I am not mawkish.
But earnestly and with mutual respect.
Oh, well, that pretty much puts the kibosh on this, then.
Now, if anybody here present knows of any reason why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold thy peace.
Oh, come on, someone always interrupts in a comedy. This can't be the only comedy show
God. Let me through there. Come on, I must
who's
speak.
That? Who's that?
It's me, Prince Philip.
Who?
Prince Philip.
Oh, right, you're the one married to that bird called Prince Michael.
No, Prince Philip, the consort of the Queen.
Oh, right, yeah, you're the one who remarked to a British student in Papua New Guinea, you managed not to get eaten then.
Oh, that was funny. I was implying that all native islanders are cannibals.
Listen, what do you want?
Yes. Well, I command that this sham of a wedding be halted immediately. It is an affront to God, nature, and to love itself.
Oh, Prince Philip, after all the things I said, I never thought you of all people would come through for me.
Hold on, Prince Philip. You're commanding that, are you? But Richard established in episode one of this series that you don't have the power to do anything.
Yes. He did, didn't he? What a shame.
No.
Well, it looks like he'll have to go ahead.
You can do
this. Hoist with your own petard, you stupid, fat, little commoner.
I have had my revenge.
Okay, it's time for the vows. Do you, Emma Morchetta Kennedy...
Wait, oh, your middle name's Morchetta?
I know, it's a coincidence, but I'm still not mawkish.
Take Richard Keith Herring to be your lawful wedded husband.
Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes.
And do you, Richard Keith Herring, take Emma to be your lawful wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forth, forsaking all others in sickness and in health, as long as you both shall live?
Do I have to hold her?
Yes, and have her.
No. There must be some way out of this. Please, God, whichever one of you is the real one, I know I've never been what you'd call a very religious person, but if you save me from the Bride of Morkenstein, I promise to believe in you forevermore.
Stop stalling and say you do.
Hold it right there.
Who are you?
I am the Dalai Lama. And I was very offended by the comments made earlier in this program about my religion. Me and the other Buddhists are fed up of everyone having a go at us and think he will just sit back and take it and meditate and stuff, just because pacifism is at the centre of our beliefs.
Yeah, bad luck, but what can you do about it, piso?
Well, we've had enough. This is payback time. No more Mr. Nice Buddha.
Look out, he's got an enormous bomb in his head.
And yet if I put that in a cartoon, people would say it was offensive and unrealistic.
And it's going to explode in 30 seconds.
Oh, thank God. Nice one, Buddha. Thanks for that. Well, at least we've sorted out which of the gods is real, so we can all believe in that one now.
So do you take Emma to be your wife?
It's only till death do us part, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, why not? What's the problem?
Well, we could try and escape.
No. Anyway, you have to honour and obey me now. We're married. You need to read the credits.
That was then, this is now. It was written and performed by Richard Herring, Danny Robba-Bubba-Bings, Dan Tetzel and me, TV's Emma Kennedy Herring. Music was provided by Christian Riley and Enigma Machine, who were Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane and Charlie Round Turner. It was produced by Il Duce Lisanti and was a Celador production for BBC Radio 2. Woo!
3, 2, 1!
Hold on, we're still alive. We're all covered in glitter and confetti and stuff. What gives?
Well, I am a Buddhist. I couldn't hurt anyone. It was a bomb of love.
Oh.
But let that be a warning to you. Next time, I'm putting some nails in it.
So bad luck. You're not dead, Rich, which means we're still married.
God, that is just so typical of my luck.
Where should we go for a honeymoon?
I don't know. How about the Morkney Islands?
The Morkshire Dales?
Centre Morks.
Morecambe.
Good one.
Can I recommend Denmark?
Well done, Lars. That was almost funny, which is an achievement for you. Let us stop this now. We've been self-indulgent enough, I think, for 1 year. It's time to let Roland Rivron have a go. Goodbye, everyone. See you in October 2008.